So as Ben said, we'll be doing Psalm 25. Page numbers should be on the screen any moment now. Okay. Of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles.
Thank you. So nice to be with you once again. I know that Ben said that I was from Scotland. A few weeks ago, I was with my son at the swimming pool in Woodlands School, and one of his little friends heard them saying to Samuel, he says, "Hey, Samuel, what language do you speak?" Samuel said, "English." He says, "Well, what language do your family speak?" He said, "English." "What language do you speak at home?" He says, Samuel said, "English." "Oh no, what about your extended family, your wider family, what do they speak?" He says, "English." So I hope you can understand what comes out of my mouth tonight. Whatever the accent, I can assure you it will be English. Well, let's look at Psalm 25 together. And I don't know if you've ever watched children skateboarding. It's quite interesting. You ever notice how they just race down that slope, don't they? And then they turn up the other side, and for a moment they just seem to hang there in the air. And then they turn, and then they speed down the slope like a snowball turning into an avalanche before hitting the bottom, rock bottom. And then what do? They fly up the other side, don't they? There are many songs in the book of Psalms that are just like that. They are known as laments. And they give voice to feelings that we have when we're sad and life is hard and you don't know if you'll last out the day. In those times, it's like we are speeding down the slope with an avalanche behind us and we're just going to hit the bottom. But like the skateboarder, the psalm assures us that even when we reach the bottom at top speed with the Lord, there is always a way back up. This is a sort of ABC psalm. The verses are numbered more or less by letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So it has something to teach us, as well as just giving voice to our feelings. And this evening we must listen to David's words, because when hard times hit, as they surely will in our life, we need to know where to go, and we need to know what to ask. So what things does the psalm encourage us to do when life is hard? Well, the first thing to do is in verse 1 to 7, that is, we need to learn to trust. Learn to trust. And you'll notice as you read this psalm that trouble is never far away. Trouble is never far away. No less than the king is in trouble. And who will save him? Verse 1. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. It literally says, in you I lift up my soul. I lift up my soul. You know, no matter how down you are as a Christian, there is always something that you can lift up. You can lift up your soul to the Lord. The psalm gives us this assurance that God will deliver his king, no matter what trouble he's in. And notice how the king is facing two kinds of troubles. Verse 2 to 3, we see that he's troubled by foes, by enemies. And verse 6 to 7, he's troubled by sins. And both these things, both foes and sins, things that attack us from the outside and things that attack us from inside of ourselves, they bring shame to a person, don't they? They bring us shame. So what does the psalmist seek? Well, two things. He seeks deliverance from his enemies, from his foes. And he seeks forgiveness for his sins. And notice he's confident that he will have both. Because look at verse 3. He says to God, no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Isn't this the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That no one who hopes in you and in him and Christ will ever be put to shame. Jesus saves us not only from guilt, he saves us from shame and embarrassment about what we have done and about our situation. Paul says in Romans 1, doesn't he? I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. In the gospel, there is rescue from foes and there is forgiveness from sins. And so Peter says in 1 Peter 4, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name. If your foes are making you feel bad for being a Christian, if they're persecuting you at school or in the workplace or in your family, if you're having a hard time for being a Christian, don't be ashamed of that. Praise God that you are a Christian. How much worse would it be if you weren't a Christian? Let me ask you, what is troubling you today? Is it something outside of yourself? Is it something to do with other people, your friends, your family? And what they might do to you or how they might make you feel, is that what's keeping you awake at night? Is that what's worrying you? Other people and what they might think of you or do to you? Or is it something to do with yourself? You've done something or you've thought something or said something. You've developed a habit and it's troubling you. You can't get any rest or peace from it. Doesn't the psalm show that the Lord is the Lord who saves from both sins and from foes? Will you this evening lift up your soul to the Lord? Will you look to him to save you from guilt and from shame? You see, where do you turn when you're facing trouble in your life? Look now where David turns, verse 4. He says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. You know, where do you find wisdom? In the teeth of trials. What do you do? Where do you turn? How do you cope when life is difficult? What is it James counsels us in the New Testament in chapter 1? He says, when you face trials of many kinds, ask God for wisdom, and he'll give it generously, and he won't point the finger and say, well, you should have asked me earlier. You slipped up there, didn't you? No, God, we ask God for wisdom. We cry out to God for help. He gives it. That's what the Bible teaches. Let me ask you, when you're facing trouble, what is your first instinct? Is it to pray? Just because you're in trouble doesn't mean that you cannot seek God, does it? It doesn't mean that you stop walking with God. In fact, aren't hard times, troubles, an opportunity to seek the Lord? Often it's in these times that we are most cast upon the Lord, isn't it? When life is going badly. Show me your ways, Lord, says the psalmist. Teach me your paths. But how can the psalmist expect such favour from the Lord? Doesn't he outline the sins of his youth and his rebellious ways? His mind goes back to when he was younger and the things that he said and did, his track record, his CV. And his past is coming back to haunt him. In verse 11, he says his iniquity is great. You know, he didn't care about God then, did he? Why should God care about him now? And yet, note what he does. Note how he turns to God in his trouble. Not based on his performance, but on verse 6, God's great mercy and love. That's where he turns to, isn't it? And doesn't Paul also speak in Ephesians 2 of God's great mercy and his love? He says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. He knows that when we return to the Lord, when we return to the Lord, he does not hold our past sins against us. He can pray, guide me in your truth and teach me. Why? Because he knows that God is God, his Savior. Now, those who truly seek the Lord know that they've nothing to be proud of. If your heart is seeking God, well, you can't have pride there, can you? They know they've nothing to be proud of. They know it's only because of God's love and grace and mercy that we are saved. And those, Psalm 25 teaches, those who have experienced his grace walk in his ways and have the desire to walk in his ways. Even those who got it wrong can still be taught by God. And so the person who lifts up their heart to the Lord prays, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. In many days, aren't we faced with this question in our lives? What's the right thing to do here? What's the right way to take? What's the right path to walk? Every day you will be faced with that question, won't you? Psalm 1 speaks of the way of the wicked and the way of the Lord. Jesus speaks of a broad road that leads to destruction and a narrow road that leads to life. Two roads in life to take, only two. Let me ask you this evening, which road are you on? Are you on the road that leads to destruction? Or the road that leads to life? Have you ever prayed and asked God sincerely, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Show me where you want me to go. Show me what path you want me to take. Are you on the road that leads to Christ, or the path that walks away from him? Is the cry of your heart, just get us through this week? Or is it, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. In hard times, like David, will you turn and seek the Lord? So, Psalm 25, what does it teach us? It teaches us to learn to trust God in every situation, to call out to him, to ask him to show us his ways and to walk in them. But then secondly, Psalm 25 teaches us, verse 8 to 15, to love the truth. To love the truth. You know, in hard times, isn't it always good to get back to who God is? I know in Christchurch we said the Apostles' Creed tonight, and you often learn a creed, don't you? A short summary of who God is. Well, how about a creed from Psalm 25? I believe in the God who is good and upright, loving and faithful, who forgives great sins and who makes promises that he keeps. I believe in the God who is good to sinners, who teaches them his ways and gives them amazing prospects. Do you believe in that God? So easy, isn't it, in our life when we face hard times especially, to have mean thoughts of God, to think of God in a way that he is not. You know, I only went to a baseball game once in my life, but I remember one thing about baseball. 3 strikes and you're out. 3 strikes and you're out. And we can think that way of God, can't we? 3 strikes and we're out. 3 slips, 3 sins, and the full weight of God's judgment will come crashing down on our heads. But look what David says about his sin in verse 11. He says, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Did you notice that? Forgive my iniquity, though it is great. He had far more than 3 strikes, didn't he? And yet he asks God to forgive him. Have you asked for God's forgiveness? You'll never know freedom from guilt until you're forgiven from guilt. The Puritan preacher Richard Sibbs said something we really need to hear. He said, there is more mercy in Christ than there is sin in me. There is more mercy in Christ than there is sin in me. Or as a modern song puts it, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. And if you really get that, if you get that there is more mercy in Christ than there is sin in me and you, then you will freely admit, like David in verse 8, I'm a sinner, Lord. I can't cover up. I can't hide. I'm a sinner. Like David in verse 9, you will feel very small, not tall before God. In verse 10, you will not come dictating terms to God, but you will receive his forgiveness with thanksgiving and gratitude, won't you? And know that we're forgiven because Jesus has died for us, not because we feel bad enough or try hard enough, but because of his mercy in Jesus. And you will fear the Lord, verse 12, and want to walk in his ways. Even in hard times, did you know that the whole direction of your life can change if you will just humble yourself and come to the Lord Jesus? You know, you don't need to be in a good place to find the Lord. He can meet you in the midst of your troubles and distress and change your life. You know, your past doesn't need to be your future. With Christ, there is mercy and forgiveness. A new pathway to travel. A wonderful prospect to come. Will you come to him this evening? Will you receive his mercy, his forgiveness, and follow him in your life? And then finally, Psalm 25 teaches us to look past trials. To look past trials. As we go into verse 16, note the psalmist turns to prayer again. And as you listen to the song, can you hear its honesty? Can you feel how raw the pain is? This is not a man with a dose of the blues. This is someone whose life is caving in. He's up to his head in troubles. His afflictions aren't adding up. They are multiplying. And yet, isn't it comforting to know it's not just those at the bottom of the pile that face troubles in this life, is it? Even God's anointed king has more than his fair share of trouble. You know, as he faces the cross in John chapter 12, what does Jesus say? Something very interesting. He says, "Now is my soul troubled." Now is my soul troubled. Not long after that, he's up front with his disciples and he says to them, in this world, you will have trouble. It'll come after you, you'll get it. But in your troubles, notice where to find refuge. Verse 20, guard my life, he says, and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you, in you. When the Roman armies invaded Judea, the Jewish people fled to a fortress in the desert called Masada. It was built in this massive rock by King Herod. And it had its own water supply. Nobody could storm it. You couldn't even be dislodged by cruise missiles, I bet you. But the Roman general, what did he do? He built a huge ramp up to the fortress. It took time, but he built it. And the Romans broke in and captured that great refuge. Now, we all have our Masadas, don't we, in our life? A refuge that we go to where we think nothing or nobody can touch us. But notice how the psalm says that there's only one refuge that nobody can storm. There's only one refuge for you that is ultimately safe and secure. And what does David say? He says, I take refuge in you, Lord. In you. Thomas Watson was a Church of England vicar and a Puritan in 17th century England. He knew what it was to lose your job and be in prison and to live with ill health. And Thomas Watson said this about our hope in the Lord Jesus. He said, we are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. We are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. And that's true, isn't it? You could go to sleep tonight and you might not get out of your bed. But God will one day raise you out of your grave. And think about that when you roll back the covers in a Monday morning and have to face the week ahead. We are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. Doesn't that put a spring in your step? If it doesn't, I don't know what will. See, Thomas Watson knew what David knew in Psalm 25, that for those people who put their trust in the Lord, yes, there is suffering, it comes first, but always and ever after the suffering, there will be glory. We are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. And look how he piles up his troubles in this psalm, and then he finishes with this amazing verse, doesn't he? He says, verse 22, deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. That's a significant word, isn't it? All their troubles. Not a few of their troubles, or some of their troubles, or most of their troubles, but all of their troubles. You see, whatever troubles or trials you have, the Lord can deliver you from them all, can't he? What does Paul say in Romans 8? He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. He says, you know, when you look at the glory, you can't even begin to measure it compared with what we're going through now. And don't we look forward to that day when hospitals and hankies and hearses will just be a distant memory? So don't give up this evening if you're going through tough times. Lift up your soul to the Lord. Seek his ways. Walk in his paths. He will redeem us from all troubles, past, present, and even the ones that are still to come. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory to come. So Psalm 25 teaches us to seek God in hard times, no matter what the source of our suffering may be, whether we're the cause of it or whether other people are. And this is a hard time, isn't it, for many? Are you seeking the Lord in it? Are you lifting up your soul to the Lord night and day? Are you saying, Lord, show me your ways? Teach me your paths. Or are you looking for relief in other places and in other people? You know, no matter how difficult your trials or whatever their cause, will you seek the Lord for his wisdom and trust him to work for his glory in your situation, whatever that may be. So Psalm 25, learn to trust. Do you trust the Lord to save you from foes and to save you from sins? Love the truth. Do you believe that God is rich in mercy, that he is loving, he is kind, and will forgive your sins if you ask him? And then look past trials. Like David, will you seek God in troubles as well as in joys? Will you lift up your soul to him when you feel rock bottom? Will you come to Christ and find refuge and security in him and in him alone? I pray that you will, that you will come to the Lord and commit your life to him, even tonight.